I'm going to ask you to do something that may be a little bit awkward or unusual. I want you to imagine something for a moment with me, and it may actually be painful. I want you to remember those people who have hurt you the most. It may help just to close your eyes and let their names come to mind, or let their faces come to mind. And while you are aware of them and you can name them, you can think about them. Imagine this, that the hurt and the pain and the sorrows that they caused had never happened. Imagine that the pain is gone and that it is forgotten as if it had never even existed. If that were the case, the heart would be light, not heavy, and full of joy. And can you imagine thinking of those people, and it's with happiness? You think of them with great fondness, and the best comes to mind when you think of them. Old things have passed away. All things have become new again. There is coming a time when this which we imagine will actually come into fullness. There will come a time after the end of days when all things are made right. All tears are wiped away. All sorrows are forgotten. All death is defeated. All evil, all betrayal are forever gone. But even now, even today, even tonight, while we live in this world, olam hazeh, there are already beginnings of the world to come. I have had a small taste of that world to come, and I want to describe it to you. The first time that I tasted of the world to come, olam haba, was 33 years ago. It was just about this time of year. And that's when I first saw that God had taken notice of me. And He knew all about me. To my surprise, He knew my name. He knew my personality. He knew my temperament. He knew my innermost thoughts before I could even say things. He already understood. And He saw everything that I had done. That was embarrassing. The first part was encouraging. The second part was embarrassing because He saw the good that I had done and He saw the terrible things I had done as well. And He knew the secrets of my heart. The things that I was proud of and the things that I was ashamed of. And He was familiar with me so deeply and so personally that it was stunning. The most amazing thing to me was that He was willing to forgive me. He was willing to consider me as if I had never done anything against Him. And I had actually done quite a few things against Him. He was willing to, if you will, imagine me as free from all the shame and guilt. He, in fact, saw me free before I saw myself free. He began to treat me like I was His son, even when I wasn't sure I wanted to walk with Him. He treated me like I was a beloved child in His own family, not like I was a foe, not like I was someone who had resisted Him. And the more He showed me this kind of love, the more I wanted to be close to Him. And yet, it was scary, because I knew I could resist, but who would want to resist this kind of love? When God showed me this love of His, it was at the same time that He introduced me to the Holy Spirit and to Yeshua. And in terms of mental comfort, it was easier to accept the existence of an invisible God in heaven. Next, in terms of ease, was the idea of an invisible God on this earth, the Holy Spirit, who was willing to live even inside of people. The hard thing was the idea of Yeshua. That was the hardest thing for me. The idea that God who is eternal and God who is forever and God who can be anywhere would actually be someplace, one place. And that He would cloak Himself in a human body and He would subject Himself to all of the struggles of humanity by coming inside of humanity. That was very hard. But the amazing thing for me is while He was revealing His love, He kept showing me Yeshua. Yeshua Adonai. Yeshua my Lord. Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. Adonai Elohei, the Lord my God. Adonai was revealing Himself to me, and it didn't fit into the package that I had actually prepared for Him. I had, like many people, constructed my own understanding of what God should be. And for some reason, He ignored all that. You hear many times that people will talk about making God in your image. I tried. It does not work. So Adonai was revealing Himself to me. And at the same time that He's revealing the Holy Spirit to me and Yeshua to me, He's revealing Himself as Hashem, the name above every name. He's revealing that Hashem, Yeshua, Ruach, it's all Adonai. He's just one and the same Adonai, one and the same Lord. And no matter how I tried to figure things out to escape from Yeshua, He was always there, kind and ready for me. And so it boiled down to this. What I learned about the Lord depended on learning about Yeshua. Because the fact was, Yeshua unlocked everything else that I was learning about the God of Israel. I had a friend who's very strong Jewish mother, enjoyed being in a Messianic Jewish congregation, but almost against her will. And she said, "These people are so nice. They're so friendly. They seem so genuine. Couldn't you just get rid of this Yeshua stuff?" And he said to his mom, "But mom, Yeshua is why they're nice. And why they're friendly and why they're genuine. There is one God, one Spirit," Paul says, "but many ways He reveals Himself to us, many ways He works in us and through us." And that is what the prophet Zechariah means when he talks about the unity of God. I love this portion, V'ne'emar, it has been said, V'haya Adonai l'melech al kol ha'aretz, b'yom ha'hu yiyeh Adonai echad u'shmo echad. It has been said by the prophet Zechariah, "The Lord will be king over all the earth in that day." That's at the end of days. "In that day, the Lord will be one and His name one." It was difficult for me to understand that God was waiting for a time when we could accept the unity of His being. That He is Echad, and yet He is God in heaven, He is God in us, He is God who has come on the earth and walked with men and women. It was difficult to accept for me that It will be later before his name is one. Because now I'm beginning to understand his name is one, and yet we are waiting. We are waiting for a day when the name Yeshua, the title Adonai, my Lord, the reality of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, all of this will be reintegrated into our understanding, and none of us will be confused, and every one of us will be able to say God is one and his name is one. And yet he manifests himself in so many ways to us. At Rosh Hashanah, we are declaring the kingship of the Lord. We're anticipating the end of days. We're anticipating even the resurrection. But right now, we accept, we even welcome his sovereignty. Right now, we present ourselves to him. Right now, we are submitting ourselves to him. We are not waiting for later. We are even accountable to him now. And we declare he is the giver of life. We declare he is the creator of the world and of all humanity. We declare he is the redeemer who seeks and saves the lost and who brings back those who have wandered away from him. One of the many names for Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaZikron, the day of remembering, or, I mean, it just doesn't sound right to translate it this way, Memorial Day. Because that conjures up all sorts of American images. Just say the day of remembering. But what are we supposed to remember? We're to remember all that God has done for us already. All the yearnings that he has already fulfilled. All the forgiveness that he has shown to us already. And all the ways he has cleansed us. His great mercy and his compassion. And we are to remember that he has come to set us free. He gave up that physical life which he took on as Yeshua. He became the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He suffered for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Punishment which we deserved, he took upon himself. And he was despised and he was misunderstood by men. And we thought of him as stricken and smitten by God. And in fact, he was the redemption for us all. One of the reasons synagogue attendance is strong at high holidays is because our hearts tell us to come. Now, Beth Israel is different from almost every other synagogue in town, maybe all other synagogues, because we don't charge for the high holidays. We don't have tickets. Everyone who comes, comes because they want to. No one is hindered from coming. But the reason we come is because our hearts tell us to come. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, our hearts, I think, are yearning for God and more open to God and more aware of profound questions and desires. And it's as if heaven opens up her gates during these days so that those who are earnestly seeking God may actually find him. One of the deepest desires of the human heart is to be free from guilt and shame before God. I'm not just talking about wanting to be free of the emotions of shame and the emotions of guilt, because there's something even stronger than that which we yearn for. It's to be free from the actual guilt and the actual shame because of what we have done, because of who we are, because of our failings, because of our sin, because of our iniquity and our transgressions. We know we need to be forgiven, and that's why we come. We want to be forgiven, and that's why we come. We want to be cleansed by God because we know the cleansing we can provide for ourselves is not enough. And we understand we are not alone, that we come together with many others. who have the same desire. This time of year, I think, is really helpful for all of us because it marks the end of one year and the beginning of the next, and it gives us a measure of time to be accountable to God for. We can ask questions like this: what has really changed in me in the last 12 months? Am I more ornery? Am I more stubborn? Am I still the same? Have I made any progress? Now, if you've made progress, it's important to take note of it and to celebrate it. You don't have to become filled with hubris and boastfulness. And in fact, your sense of progress may be small or it may be exaggerated. But if you can be honest before God about the things that have changed, and you can take hold of the things that He has worked into you already, those things which He considers pleasing, those things that He considers strengths and good qualities, and you can begin to recognize them yourself and then rejoice that He's done something good in you and offer these very same things back to Him in service. Lord, you've done this for me. Now I make myself available to you. If you can do that, your life won't be filled with despair. It will be filled with joy. You can ask the question, in these last 12 months, have I grown closer to God? Have I developed more love for Him? Do I show more love for other people? And this very uncomfortable question, what has surfaced in these last 12 months that I now have to deal with? What has been revealed? The Lord tells us that the righteous will be like gold or silver that's refined 7 times. And maybe you're on number 3 or 4 or 5. And even at the time when you get to the 7th time, you wish that it was literally just 7 times that refining would come. But in fact, the Lord knows how to purify the righteous, and He uses pressure and heat to do it. The pressure of circumstances and the heat of life. And it's exactly what happens with the finest of metals. It causes the impurities to rise to the surface. This is the time of the year when they are supposed to rise to the surface in order to be scooped off, not to be suppressed. The great temptation is that we would be embarrassed by our reality, the dross, the ugliness that's in us. And then, in order to look better than we are, we would try to push it all down. And if we do that, we defeat the entire refining process of God, which only means we have to go through it more. And if you understand anything about refining, you know this: it takes more heat the next time. And so we're called to humble ourselves by allowing the ugliness to rise to the surface and not to be so embarrassed by it, but to actually offer it to God. This is so strange. God, here are my sins. He says, I'll take them. And I'll take them away. I will lift them off of you. There's another kind of desire that's at work in us at this time. Deep yearnings of the heart. Some of these yearnings are secrets no one knows. Some of these are just private, only the closest people to you know. The Rosh Hashanah, Torah, and Haftorah portions refer to yearnings like this. Abraham yearned for a son. And so did his wife, Sarah. And together they waited so long, they waited patiently, and they finally received a covenant son, Yitzchak. And he was surely a son of the covenant. He was difficult to conceive, and he was difficult to bring forth. But he turned out to be a special gift from Adonai. And gifts like that can only come in their due season. It's important to know this. There are things God wants to do in your life, but it has to be at the right time. There's a due season. No other time is fitting or appropriate, and God alone knows when the time is right. And part of the trust of our very being to Him is to trust our times and our seasons to Him. That He knows how to keep us. He knows how to bring us through the struggle into that place of joy. Isaac was a confirmation that God was faithful. He was a confirmation that God keeps His promises. And he was a confirmation that Abraham hadn't imagined everything. That he wasn't just deluded, misguided, hallucinating, or just a spiritual whack. Isaac was a confirmation that God was real. In the Haftorah, we read that Hannah yearned for a son. She also waited a long time. And her heart could have been broken. Her behavior sometimes was so outrageous. But her heart never broke. And we have to ask this question, why not? Well, it's because Hannah yearned before God, just as Abraham did. She didn't just bottle it up inside. Her yearning wasn't commingled with despair. It was mingled with hope. And she mixed her yearning with prayer and worship. And so her yearning, even while she was yearning for what she did not have, her yearning drew her closer to God. And her yearning was united to her desire for God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 tell us just a few details that are spread out over roughly a 9-month period in which God breaks through. Early in the morning, it says, Elkanah and his family got up and worshipped in front of the Lord. Then they returned home to Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. And Hannah became pregnant. And then later, in due season, she gave birth to a son. And she named him Shmuel, Samuel, which means God hears. Because she said, I asked the Lord for him. I love that. God hears. I asked the Lord for him. That's what Hannah says. You see this little boy? God hears. Every time I need him to come close, Shmuel, God hears. The greatest yearning a person can have, the one that is above all others, is the desire for God. All good desires can be joined to that one. That's what Abraham did. That's what Hannah did. That's what we can do. Any desire that cannot be joined to our desire for God must fade away. It must disappear. Tonight, we're going to eat apples and honey and challah together as a celebration. And it's to remind us of some simple things. God is with us. And He brings joy to His beloved. At the very beginning of the 10 days of awe, of the days when judgment takes place, we stand before our King and we are not afraid because He's merciful. Because He has shown us a path that leads to mercy and to compassion. We're not ashamed. We're not afraid. We've put off shame. We've put off fear. We've put off hopelessness. And when we taste that challah, and when we taste those apples, and you know, it probably wasn't apples that Adam and Eve ate, but we will eat them tonight. When we taste that honey, one thing is supposed to come to mind. The Lord is sweet to us. The Lord is good to us. His mercy is forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. The ones He has gathered from all the lands, from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west, the ones He has delivered from the hands of the adversary, and the ones He has brought into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Let them say, the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. This is our declaration. This is our hope. This is our prayer. This is our confidence. Listen to these words of the Avinu Malkeinu. Simple words. Avinu Malkeinu, Chanenu Va'anenu, Ki Ein Banu Ma'asim, Asei Imanu Tzedaka V'chesed, Ki Hoshianu. Our Father, our King, be merciful and answer us. Though we have no worthy deeds, treat us charitably with loving kindness, because You have saved us. I want to ask you to stand now. For Zachreinu L'chaim. Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech Chafetz B'chaim. V'chadvenu B'sefer HaChaim, L'mancha Elohim, L'mancha Elohim, Elohim Chaim. Remember us unto life, O King, who delights in life, and inscribe us into the book of life for Your sake, O God of life. Remember the words of Yeshua. Do not rejoice in the fact that spirits are subject to You, but rather rejoice because Your names are written in heaven. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chadvenu b'sefer hayamim. L'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim chaim. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chadvenu b'sefer hachayim. L'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim chayim. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, v'chadvenu b'sefer hachaim. L'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim, l'mancha Elohim chaim.
Tikia. Shevarim. Teruah. Tikia. Tikia. Shevarim. Teruah. Tikia. Tikia. Shevarim. Teruah. Tikia. Tikia. Teruah. Tikia. Tikia. Teruah. Tikia. Tikia. Teruah. Tikia gadula.
Stop. They just keep going. Thank you all. Thank you so much. We're going to close tonight with a special Rosh Hashanah Oneg with apples, honey, and holiday challah. And the tables are set. And when we go into the Oneg room, we're going to gather around the tables. Some can sit, some can stand, but you got to make room for everybody. And every table will need to share with those who are standing around it. So turn to the person next to you and say, you got to share with me. And I'll share with you. And there are several blessings that we'll say together over these things. Sandy and I are going to lead the way, and we want you to come immediately into the Oneg room. Don't stay in the sanctuary or you'll miss the blessings. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing and then walk with us as we go into... Parents, you who have children in the Shabbat school will need to go to them first and get your children and then bring them in. And your children should be with you while we are making fun with honey. Try to stick together.
And let's just give Eric a great thank you for the Zafreinu. Thank you so much. Awesome.
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 Woo! Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navei lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Chag Sameach, Lashana Tava, meet us in the Oneg.